to the world.
Keep going.
Or whatever the case may be, the list can go on and on and on. And those are great traditions. And the anticipation of those events during the season makes the season almost as special as the day itself, right? It's those things leading up, the time as family and doing the cookies and the gingerbread and maybe decorating the tree and singing carols as a family and all those things. That's almost as special as the day itself. It's interesting because as a child, you know, right around December 1st through the 25th, seems like it lasts forever. It's like, is Christmas ever going to get here? But then as you get older, all of a sudden it's like December 1st through the 25th is like here, and you're like, what happened? It's here already. But either way, the first point to be made this evening is this, is that however you wait, however you anticipate, that Christmas is worth waiting for. The first Christmas ever was also an event that was a long time coming. You think we wait for a long time. You know, we celebrate a month before. The people of God were familiar with the promises that had been given to them hundreds of years prior. They trusted God's faithfulness and believed that he would come through. After all, that's what God does. He comes through. Finally, in this tiny, tiny city of Bethlehem, a young couple named Mary and Joseph found themselves to be in a farm shed. A farm shed. Did you hear that? A farm shed. And it was in that space that the Savior of the world was to be laid, in that space. The God of the universe to come and to be vulnerable as a vulnerable baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. You know, there is more than one account of this miraculous story in Scripture. We find it in the Gospels. But however, tonight I want to take just a little different look. Instead of looking at the story through the Gospels perspective, I want to look at it from the book of John, and just a little bit differently. And the starts in John chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 9. And this is what it says: "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." Isn't that what Christmas really is? The true light that gives light to every single man was coming into the world. The way this version of the Christmas story goes, there is a light that enters the world. And this light was born into the dark world full of sin and brokenness. And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we are living in a world that is full of sin and brokenness even to this day. And but this was not just any light. This was the light, the true light, the light that everyone had been waiting for. Have you ever walked into a dark room that you're not completely familiar with? Now you walk in, the light's not on. Now you know there's a light somewhere up there. And you know that somewhere either on this wall, there's probably a switch. So you walk in and you're just kind of feeling around for the light switch. You're moving up and down, and finally you find it. And you flip the light on, and all of a sudden, this anxiety of the dark room just kind of goes away, and light instantly fills the room. And for us, when that light comes on, we know it and we see it immediately, right? It immediately lights up the room and we see it, and we're thankful for it. And that's what happened the night when Jesus was born. Isn't that exactly what happened? People were anxiously waiting the light to enter the world that had been prophesied years prior. There is one major difference, however. In when we flip on a light, you can't miss it. when Jesus was born, there were many that didn't recognize it. That is one key difference. This is what is said continuing in John chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. As Jesus miraculously came into the world, a world that was actually created through Him and held together by Him, the world did not recognize Him for who He really was. What a tragedy that actually was, and what a tragedy that actually is. That so many were waiting for the Messiah to appear and redeem all that God had created and bring peace to the world. When the Messiah shows up, the one they had been waiting for, when He shows up, the majority don't even recognize it. How could they not see the light when it entered into complete darkness? Unfortunately, I believe the main reason was because Jesus did not look like the kind of Savior they were hoping for, they were looking for. They were looking for and hoping for a mighty warrior. Instead, they received God in human flesh and a sacrificial life that would free the world from sin. Because many don't recognize Him, many miss the gift of the light, which brings me to point two. Don't miss the gift of Jesus. Don't miss it. Jesus came to rescue His fellow Jews and to take that hope to the ends of the earth. But they did not accept Him. His life was a gift that by many was never received. Another great tragedy. Now, I'm not sure this has ever happened to me, but I've heard plenty of stories of gifts being wrapped, and then you hide them in places so your spouse don't see them or the kids can't find them, right? You buy them a month in advance, and you hide them. But you do it soon enough so that when Christmas comes and you get out all the gifts and everybody wraps their unwraps the gifts and everything, and everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden, like months later, you go to put something away, and you're like, oh, that's where I hid that gift. And you forgot that you even bought it, right? Yep. I mean, I've heard stories. I don't think I've ever done that personally, but I've heard a lot of stories. And it might even be until the next Christmas when you go to hide the gifts again. You go to hide them in the same place, and you're like, oh, well, heck, I already got part of my Christmas done for this year. And now, you know, it's funny because we chuckle about that, and it's good to get a little chuckle out of it, while others are kind of put off by it. You're like, why would they be put off by it? I mean, it's a gift, right? So who cares if you got it this year or next? It's a gift. Why would you be put off by it? So what if you receive it months later or the following Christmas? And here is the point, I think, that some people are put off by it is because it was a gift purchased to be given that year. And it's disappointing to have missed the gift that was intended to be given, right? And that's what happened. This gift was intended to be given, and yet many didn't recognize it, and many didn't receive it. This Advent season, we've all been offered this amazing gift that could be received this Christmas season, and I sure don't want anyone to miss it. I don't want anyone to leave here tonight without it. Like any gift, we don't really benefit if we don't actually receive it and open it from the giver, right? If I give you a gift and you don't receive it and you don't open it, you benefit zero from it, right? He's given us gift. We have to receive it, and we have to open it, and we have to embrace it to benefit from it. This is what it says continuing in the scripture in verse 12 and 13. It says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." To those who received Christ, the greatest gift of God, they were given the right to become children of God. Different children who are born to an earthly father and mother, they become the spiritual children of the divine. Think about that. We have an opportunity to become the spiritual children of the living God. God becomes our Father, and in love and in mercy, He forgives us. He provides for us. He guides us, the spiritual siblings of Jesus, who is the Son of God. Think of it that way. That we get to be the spiritual sibling of the Messiah. How awesome is that? They or we can inherit an eternal home, inherit a resurrected body, an inherent joy that is unspeakable. And then in 14, continuing in the text, it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." There is something important to notice about that verse. Jesus is called something else besides the light. Did you catch what He's called? He is referred to as the Word. Jesus is the Word because He is the fulfillment of all that was written about Him. From cover to cover, anything that had been written about Him, He fulfilled. All the prophetic promises are made true in Him. We get to see God's Word in the flesh. We see all the glory of God in one man, Jesus Christ. You know, it's often been said, I want to see what God looks like. You want to know what God looks like? You don't have to look any further than the incarnation. Jesus is the perfect representation of God the Father. And He came in full grace and in full truth. Which leads me to my third and final point this evening. Shine the glory of God. Shine the glory of God. Jesus meets us with grace, and He reminds us that we are loved for who we are and not who we should be. Jesus also meets us with truth, which tells us that we can be more than we are right now. He loves us where we are, but He also meets us with truth and grace, and we don't have to be where we are right now. The truth of the matter is that Jesus reveals the sin in our hearts, and the grace of Jesus removes it. What a beautiful thing that is. As He shines in our lives, He makes us new. The beauty of Christmas is not that Jesus shines into us, but also that He shines through us. Not just unto us, but through us. Now, I get it that it is easy to be overwhelmed with pain and suffering of this world. It's a difficult place to live, and it is filled with pain, and it is filled with hurt, and it's filled with suffering. But the key is believing that Jesus can help you spread the light of hope. Last Christmas, or a while ago, in Duxbury, Massachusetts, Joan Sullivan's video doorbell captured the image of a small child dressed in an elf suit, leaving something on her door. You know what the video doorbells are, right? They're the doorbells, and it takes videos. And she looked at the video, and she saw a picture of a boy dressed as an elf and leaving something on her door. And she thought, how perplexing that is. And what it was a card. And in that card, it said this. It said, "Thank you for spreading Christmas joy. We love your lights." On the video, the homeowner could hear someone shout, "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's," as the little elf scampered away. And Joan said, "It filled my heart with love and joy." You see, sometimes we don't even know. We don't even realize the kind of hope, the kind of peace, the kind of joy, and the kind of love that we are giving to the world by the light that we shine as followers of Jesus. She didn't have any idea that she was spreading Christmas joy until the little boy dressed in an elf let her know. When we love others, and when we serve others, and encourage others to live and to serve like Jesus, I can tell you, the world will notice. When you love like Jesus, and when you serve like Jesus, and you encourage others to do the same, oh, the world will notice. And they too will say, "I love your light. Thank you for spreading your light." I think the sadder reality, however, is that maybe we aren't doing a very good job at being the light that we are called to be. Maybe we aren't doing as good a job as we ought to be as being the peace and the joy and the hope and the love. I'm afraid that sometimes those things aren't evident in us like they ought to be. And maybe, just maybe, we've allowed the pain and the suffering that I talked about just a moment ago of this world to dim our light. Right? Those things that happen can dim our light. Or perhaps it's because we just choose to keep it to ourselves. It's a great story and it makes me feel good. But we have an obligation to share it. I can tell you this. I am sure glad that God did not keep his son to himself. He had the light of the world. And God could have kept it for himself. He could have kept it for himself. But he sent Jesus, the light of the world, to us, to live in us and shine through us. And really, that's what I want us to understand tonight, that we have an obligation to love like Jesus loved and to serve like Jesus served. This book, from cover to cover, teaches us how to do that. There was a lot of brokenness and a lot of sin and a lot of darkness when Jesus came into the world. There's a lot of sin and a lot of brokenness and a lot of darkness that is surrounding us right now. And the light of Jesus has never been more needed than it is right now. It's never been more needed. But it has to be us. It has to be us allowing Jesus to shine on us, but not only that, to shine through us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for sending the light of your Son into a dark world so that it could be received by everyone and shared by everyone. Lord, this evening I pray for those who have not yet received this gift and that are still walking in darkness. Lord, for whoever that is, may tonight be the night that they walk in darkness no more. And Lord, I ask for forgiveness for the times we have allowed our light or the light of your Son to be extinguished in our own lives. And Lord, may tonight be the night that our light shines again. Maybe we've had that light and it's been extinguished. Lord, and I pray that tonight is the night that our light would shine again for all the world to see. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in the light of the world. Amen. So as tradition would have it, we are going to close our service with a silent night. But tonight what I really want you to think about is when we light our candles, we don't light them just to make the sanctuary look pretty. The lights go dim and everybody holds their candle and it's really pretty. And it's really beautiful. But that's not what it's all about. We don't light them to sing a song and make the sanctuary pretty. We light them because we want to spread the light of the world. And so I want us to take an extra thought of that. As you're holding your candle up, think about what you can do. And you're singing Silent Night. As pretty as it is, think about what you can do to make sure that even though we're going to extinguish our lights inside here, our candles, think about what you can do to make sure that your light is not extinguished when you leave from this place. I'm going to light my candle from the Christ candle. And from there, we're going to send forth the light of the world to you. So then you can therefore send the light of the world from outside of this sanctuary. It's not about what happens here tonight inside this place. It's what happens outside of this place when we leave from here that truly matters.